Welcome to Conversations with Cynthia. Cynthia Hyatt is a relationship expert, executive consultant, and life management coach. Cynthia Hyatt uses her 30 years of experience as a licensed psychotherapist to now offer in-office or concierge services through executive life coaching, consulting, and image management in order to help you be your own best version. Cynthia also specializes in speaking to groups worldwide about how to be successful in relationships, as well as artfully handling life's challenges. She has had many opportunities to present numerous educational seminars and lectures on a variety of motivational, inspirational, and mental health topics around the world. Please take a moment to visit her website at CynthiaHyatt.com. That's Cynthia, H-I-E-T-T.com. Her Facebook page at Cynthia Hyatt Incorporated for current events, updates, and inspiration during your week, as well as all social media platforms. You can hear this show as a podcast on iTunes and many other podcast services. Follow her on Facebook and Instagram. Now, with today's fresh insight, here's Cynthia Hyatt.
Well, hello and good afternoon. Thank you for tuning in. And I know that I always thank you for telling people about the show, but I really do appreciate it. And I love being able to just help people along the way, just like I have been helped along the way by so many people. And so today I wanted to do one of my favorite ones here, which is Made in the Image of God. Now, what does that really mean? Made in the image of God. It sounds like a really big thing, and it originally made me feel like I had to do a whole lot of work. But what I found was that God was saying, I've done all the work, and I want you to enjoy who I have created. So greater thinkers than I have asked, who am I? Why am I here? You know, all those statements. And John 8:32 says, then you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And this way, I really liked to hear that. And I have put this into practice many times. I've told people, the truth, if you get the truth, even if it's painful or hard, you will always feel freer. You'll always feel better. When you know the truth, you will be set free. It doesn't mean everything will be fixed, but it means that you will get to have that moment of, I get a deep breath and I go, okay, now I understand. Now I can think. And so when I thought about doing the book, you know, Being Your Own Best Version, I knew that I really couldn't do it, because if I don't address foundationally who God declares himself to be and who God says we are, then we're going to really be struggling with being the best version of ourselves, because we won't know what we're trying to be. And so I want you to ask yourself, do you know the truth about you? Does your truth line up with God's truth? I mean, truly, who are you? And so when I think about, do I know the truth about me? And does that truth line up with God's truth? Well, I talk with people every day who say all kinds of things about themselves that are not true. And once I get them to really talk through the truth, even though maybe it might be uncomfortable, excuse me, you will always feel lighter, you will always feel better. And so if I don't address foundationally who God declares himself to be and who God says we are, as he says, do you know the truth? Do you know the truth about you? Does your truth line up with God's truth? I mean, truly, you know, who are you? Who is God? And so it may be better to start with asking, who is God? And how does he explain himself? Who does he say he is? See, I have to tell you, the more that I know God, the more I want to be like him. How many people can you say that about? It's a natural tendency for humans to emulate things. You see, we see in fads and trends, we see people copying other people, children acting like their parents, parents acting like their children, parents acting like the club they belong to, the church they go to. And it's a natural part of the identity process. So when we look at the quote-unquote who God is, it is truly a part of the identity process and development of the individual. So we want to identify with Christ. We want to be a Christian. That's identifying with Christ. They will know we are Christians because of our love, because God is love. And if we love God and come from Him, then we are to be, quote unquote, like Him. This is why we are here, you know, in the world, and supposedly we're working against being of the world. It doesn't mean, and it doesn't mean He wants His children getting their identity from anything or anyone other than where they came from. I want to say that again. We are to be like God, and because we came from Him, this is what happens. Children are raised in families, whether the family is an adopted or biological child. They are extremely unhealthy and are abusive, finding it difficult to figure out who they are. Because where they came from is not who they want to be. And this is a conflict that adopted children have. This is a conflict that we all have, whether we were adopted or raised by the people that bore us. And so when we're thinking of identity, we want to say to ourselves, wow, my identity has a lot to do with who I want to be like, what I want to be known for. And so this is where it's difficult to figure out who you are, because where you came from may not be who you want to be. So this similar phenomenon to those who see their bio family, you know, where they came from, as people they don't want to be like, that's painful. When you say, you know, I'm nothing like my family. Even though I came from them, I'm nothing like them. So this is one of the most powerful interactions I ever had with God, was in the area of, quote unquote, who am I? Where did I come from? Because being an adopted person, and I always remember knowing that I was, presented problems for me around my origins and identity. See, I do not resemble my adoptive parents physically at all. And my adoptive family does not share many of the gifts and talents that I have. It's kind of like finding yourself on a train that's traveling, and you're the only one on the train that doesn't know where they came from. It's like they'll say, hey, where are you coming from and where are you going? I don't know where I came from. I don't know where I'm going. So how did you get on the train to begin with? And you're not sure where you're supposed to be going. So forget about even knowing where you're supposed to get off the train or if you should be on it to begin with. I mean, maybe you're supposed to be driving the train, or maybe you are supposed to be working on the train. Maybe you should be getting off at the next stop. Maybe you don't even think about it that much. Lastly, are you riding it out to the end? See, if you're on a train, if you're in a car, any of these ways, there's lots of ways you can get off and start over. And so the reason this is so profound is that truly we are all adopted back into the family of God through Jesus. So I know that many of the things I felt as an adopted child are shared with people who were raised by their biological parents. Many of my friends say, I'm not like my family at all. And so this is where they might say to me, I think I'm secretly adopted. Nobody will admit it, but I'm not like any of my family at all. But even if you were raised by the families that you were quote unquote like or wanted to be like, the family you were raised in, because of maybe they had some admirable traits, were loving, authentic, you still understand that you are the only one of you. See, there's no other one but you. A truly original, uniquely one-time occurring human that needs to find out who they truly are and why they were created. This is imperative. And in the world that we have now, where we have people that are taking over, changing their body so that they can be a different gender or a different type of person or some whatever it is that they are longing for and trying to get, The hardest part about this is you're not the creator. So you are not able to create who you want to be. You don't have it within you. You don't have the tools. And this is where it's difficult for people who struggle with Christianity, because it's a trust issue. See, I have to trust God when he says to me, you were beautifully and wonderfully made, and I was glad that I made you. That's hard for me to take in. And I have to be willing to believe. And this is part of the process, to know that I'm truly original, uniquely one-time occurring human, and I need to find out who I really am and why I am created. And one of the things that I like to remind people about when we talk about identity and people, you know, creativity and how people are made and all these kinds of things, I want to talk with you about the idea of uniqueness. And what is so powerful about the word unique is that every single human is unique. Nobody is copied. Now, there may be some similarities. There may be all kinds of things that cause you to think, well, maybe I'm like them, or maybe I'm not like them, or I wish I were like them. But you see, the uniqueness is one of the things that makes you so special. Whether you're good, bad, indifferent, tall, small, blonde, redhead, super intelligent, really good with your hands, it doesn't really matter to that degree. You have to find out who you are. And you need to go to your creator and say, who am I? Who am I? Why did you make me? What was the point of all of this? Pain, especially, we get many times as we're trying to figure out how to be the person that we're supposed to be. And so with many discussions with God and asking him, who am I? Why am I here? I inevitably would end up telling him, I feel like I just appeared one day and that I'm stuck on the planet, and now he and Jesus have to figure out what to do with me because I wasn't planned. that's kind of how adoptive people feel. So we're going to the next segment, and we're going to talk more about this idea about understanding who you really are so that you can really like being with yourself. So join me in the next segment. Thank you so much. Well, good afternoon. Welcome to Conversations with Cynthia. I really appreciate you listening and appreciate that you let your friends and family know about the show as well. I just want to be someone on this planet, right, that can make things a little easier, that can kind of, you know, make things a little smoother, because there are ways that we can change our behaviors and the ways that we think to truly help us manage how difficult life can be. So we were talking in the last segment, I was talking to you about the fact that I was adopted and that I didn't look like anybody, and I had talents and abilities that nobody in my family had. And, you know, it was very difficult when it came to identity. I looked all different places and I thought, well, maybe I should be like that person or that person. And so it's taken years and years for me to really come together with God and understand when God says to me, you are beautifully and wonderfully made. You're a one-time occurring person. And we left off in that last session, and I was talking about the way that God has made us. And, you know, years ago I did a show here, and I was talking about, like, biological families and, you know, all this type of thing and what it means when you are not a biological child. And so I was working on it in my, you know, office, and I realized that, my premise for saying that every single person is unique might not be true, because I thought about identical twins. And I was like, oh my gosh, I ruined my whole show. What about identical twins? So I started researching. And this is one of the most beautiful insights and information I've ever garnered in my entire life. So I'm looking up about identical twins, and I read that they are also identical in their fingerprints. And so our assumption would be that identical twins have the same fingerprints. But this is what God did. In utero, little babies, when they push against the uterine wall in their mommy's belly, that's how fingerprints are made. So even if they're identical in everything, they are unique in their fingerprint. So isn't that beautiful that God would do that? And so this is where the reason that this is so profound is that many of my friends were adopted as well, and I found out that, wow, really, we're all adopted back into the family of God through Jesus. And so this is where we want to think about, hey, I need to understand who I am, why I am here, and that it is not happenstance. And so this is where we want to say why this is so profound, that we are truly all adopted back into the family of God through Jesus. So I know that many things I felt as an adopted child are shared with people who are raised by biological parents. They might not look like them. They may have very little in common with their biological family. So they may feel and say things like, I think I was secretly adopted and nobody will admit it because I'm not like these people at all. But even if you were raised by families that you were like or wanted to be like, the family you were raised in, because they had some admirable traits, were loving, authentic, etc., you are still the only one of you. There is no other one but you. A truly original, uniquely, one-time occurring human that needs to find out who they truly are and why they were created. And so through many of these discussions with God and asking him, who am I? Why am I here? I inevitably would end up telling him, I feel like I just appeared one day that I snuck on the planet and now God has to like find something to do with me. Because he's like, oh, I didn't know Cynthia was being made. Now what are we going to do with her? And I used to think that I had to really be something, or at least really good at something, or a good citizen, or a good daughter, a good employee, to justify being allowed to be here on the planet because I wasn't planned. I just appeared. So it's kind of like jumping, you know, the train without a ticket. Now what are you going to do? Wash dishes, right? So it was some very painful things, and painful at times for me, and certainly confusing because I didn't look like anyone. Now, I started finding people that I looked like as I grew older, like Terry Garr. People would say, you look just like Terry Garr, right? So I'd go, oh, really? Wow. And it would give me this feeling of, okay, maybe I am somebody. So one of the reasons that we look at how studies show what a powerful thing it is to look like people as a way to connect and bond, one of the reasons for racial bonding, you just connect because your bodies are similar, and you have some similar problems. You get answers about who you are in your family or culture. So, like, for example, you get, oh, that, your uncle so-and-so had that same problem. Or that runs in the family, or that's part of being Italian, whatever it is. And so in some ways, I now consider myself fortunate in that I had to identify with God early on because I didn't have any of the quote-unquote normal reference points. See, reference points are very helpful, even if they are negative. This is what adolescents go through when they stop identifying with their family and they begin identifying with their peers. This is why in the past, music and clothing was such an identifier for all the adolescents, and why they develop their own language, their own music, their way of looking, the way they walk. And they typically do whatever they feel sure the adults, quote unquote, won't do. This is why the extreme mohawks, pants were being worn down to the knees, you know, extreme body piercing is prevalent, that at last you get to do something and the adults wouldn't do it. At least they won't copy that from us. And guess what happened? The adults started copying the kids. So it's been making it very difficult for people to figure out who they are. So what you want to think about is, although I don't know my biological parents, I have received non-identifying information that tells me I'm very similar to them both, and that the rest of my biological relatives are also similar. And my husband, thank you, thank God, he went and found who my biological family was. And it was very, very helpful to go, wow, I do that too. I look like that as well. And so the information indicates that I looked like them and that I have many of the same talents and abilities and gifts that my biological family has. And it was very fascinating to receive this information in my 30s. Much of what I had done up until then was very similar to both my biological parents. So I remember where I was when I was having this, who am I and why am I here discussion with God. I was in Tempe. I was the rural road off ramp going east into Tempe. So you always know it's a profound thing when you remember exactly where the God experience occurred. And I had stopped at the light, and that was getting ready to turn left onto rural road. And I was talking to God yet again about this identity issue. And he said, in that still and quiet voice that pierces through everything, he says, now you know where you came from. You came from me. And it was like, oh my goodness, that cleared up everything. Now you know where you came from. You came from me. It was like time stopped. Even now I can remember it. So keep joining in with me today, because we have a lot more to talk about why God wants me in relationship. Well, good afternoon. I'm Cynthia Hyatt. Thank you for joining today. And today we are talking about why God wants us in relationship and why that is so important. And you know, relationships, they're kind of painful many times. They are very helpful, but they can also be quite painful. And so I was talking in that last segment about just some of the identity issues that I had had because I was adopted and what it meant when I found people, my birth family, and how much I was like them and what that did for me. And so I want you to think about this idea that God is wanting us in relationship with Him, first and foremost, but with other people as well. Because one of the things that relationships do, it either calms us down or ramps us up or helps us look at something we didn't want to look at or maybe gives us some kudos so that we feel better about ourselves. See, relationships are huge, and they are all through the animal kingdom. Any red-blooded mammal has to have friends because that's just pretty much how God made us. So this is what I want you to think, want you to hear. When I talk about this idea, when God really spoke to me, now you know where you came from. You came from me. It really was as if time had stopped. Even now I remember it. It can bring tears to my eyes. It was so incredibly profound. And I wish that I had the ability to write it down in a way that you could feel it into the depth of your soul, that you would know this simple, profound, beautiful truth from God. And so I always know when it's God, because He can say in 7 to 12 words or less what it takes me a book to write. So I say to you, now you know where you came from. You came straight from God. You came from His heart. His soul is in you and His mind. And He thought of you. And He wanted, quote unquote, one of you. So He made you. Ultimately, nothing else really matters. That's where you emanate from. That's where you will be returning to. He wants to be with you forever. And I refer to this idea in another chapter of the book, Guaranteed Value. This idea that God made me because He wanted to be with me forever. Now, that one really was powerful. He made me so that I could be with Him forever. Now, I don't know about you, but how many people do you know that you would like to be with them and know them forever, right? And so you see, I've learned that God, and from God, that you can't spend eternity if you don't become a human. And the only way to become a human is to be created. So if you are created and conceived and live in your mother's womb for 2 weeks, or if you live to be 100 years old, you have to become human to know God, to be able to live with him forever. And he went on to impress to me the following insight, and it's continued to really reinforce itself and remind me of it throughout the years. And this is where God is really saying, I am the creator. I am the creator. Nobody has the power of life and death like me. I decided the day you were to be born, and I made it happen. I was more interested in making sure you were created and that you showed up at the quote-unquote right time, which is my time, than I was concerned about whether or not it was the right time or the right way for everyone else involved. Now you know where you came from. You came from me. Now you know why you're here. I wanted you. I needed you. I will never forget that day. And so as we look at this idea of being made in the image of God, it is helpful to look first at who he says he is. See, if I know God, I know myself better. And if I act more like God, then I like myself better. So it's this really important process of you knowing you, you knowing who created you, you understanding his heart as best as he can help you understand it, and knowing the level of value that he places on you. And that's always been a tough one for me, because I still can struggle with value. And I can still sometimes get that feeling I used to have that I have to do something really great so that people might like me or respect me. That it's not just okay for me to show up. I have to actually do something. And so it helps when you recognize who the doer is, and that would be God. And God is the one that wants to do your life with you. He wants to help you make your life be the thing that matches who you are and helps you to enjoy who he is and being able to really help other people around you that you love and that you hope for. So this is Cynthia Hyatt with Conversations with Cynthia. This is the end of this segment. Make sure that you keep tuning in, and we are talking about why God wants us in relationship. Welcome back. You're listening to Cynthia Hyatt, and this is Conversations with Cynthia. Thank you, as always, for joining in and letting your friends and family know about the show. And I am very excited because we are also going to begin a YouTube channel, and I will keep you posted about that, where we may be able to interact in some different ways. And so I'm very excited to be able to do something like that. And I want you to also remember that all that we do here on this show is really reinforcing your value, how important your life is, and why you are here. And so we are talking about now this idea of being made in the image of God. And that in and of itself is a pretty big statement, that I'm made in the image of God. So I think it's helpful to look first at who he says he is. So in Revelation chapter 22, verse 13, he says, I am A to Z, the first and the final, the beginning and the conclusion. I mean, that's amazing. That's hard for me to take in. How about Colossians chapter 21? This is 15 through 17. And it says that Christ holds it all together. So we look at this Son and we see the God who cannot be seen. See, when we see the acts of Jesus through someone, we're seeing God. That's what we're seeing. We look at this Son and sees God's original purpose in everything created, for everything, absolutely everything above and below, visible and invisible, rank after rank after rank of the angels, everything got started in him and finds its purpose in him. He was there before any of it came into existence and holds it all together right up to this moment. And when it comes to the church, he organizes and holds it together like a head does to a body. How about this one? Isaiah 44, chapter 44 and 6 through 8. It says, God, the King of Israel, your Redeemer, God of the angel armies, says, I'm the first, I'm the last, I'm everything in between. I'm the only God there is. Who compares with me? Speak up. See if you measure up. From the beginning, who else has always announced what's coming? So what is coming next? Anybody want to venture and try? Don't be afraid and don't worry. Haven't I always kept you informed, told you what was going on? You're my eyewitnesses. Have you ever come across a God, a real God, other than me? There's no rock like me that I know of. And he goes on to say, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the Prince of Peace, your rock, your deliverer, the Almighty, the Son of God, the Lion and the Lamb, the mighty ruler, the Lord your God, Jehovah, the healer, the bread of life, the captain of the host, the word of God, the bridegroom. See, God has no identity problems. He really knows who he is. He is omniscient. He is omnipresent. He's omnipotent. So we know, unless we're delusional, that we are none of those things, and that yet God says we are made in his image. So Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 says, And God said, Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, over all the creatures that are moving around the earth. And so when we see this Genesis 1:26 and it says, God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. See, that's what we want to remember. This is that moment when I saw when I saw my brother and sister who were my biological sister and brother, and I looked like them. I was made in their likeness and they were made in mine. And so we were like each other. So what God is doing is he's saying, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. This is the triune talking, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And so this is where God is saying, I'm happy that I made this. And as he's looking forward into what important things are going to be happening, he's wanting us to be successful in relationships. So we find that similarity and likeness that really adds tremendously to relational success. It's tough to be intimate with somebody or feel like you're on the same page if you have completely divergent ways of thinking or a different value system. And so this is where we want to think about God is tremendously behind relational success. See, wouldn't this just be like God to set up necessary components for success? So he made us like himself, which is a great gift because we get to borrow from who God is and how he is so that we can do our relationships better. And this is where he said he made us like himself. And unfortunately, because of sin, we become less and less like him. Less and less like God who created us. The very being we emanate from. And this causes him tremendous pain. So then we might ask, well, who am I? Or who are you? And scripture always helps me develop a strong reference point so that you will see the abundance of scripture used. I could use it more, but I won't. So there are more and more verses I could tell you. And so this next one, which is Matthew 19:4, and it's in the Message Bible, says he answered, Haven't you read in your Bible that the Creator originally made man and woman for each other, male and female? And this is God giving you permission to be who you are and to not think that somehow he missed out on the creating part, that somehow he missed something, that he created you, put in the oven, take you out, you're supposed to be done, and he looks at it and Jesus says, you forgot that one piece. Okay, that doesn't happen. And so this is where we also see when God says, let us make humans in our image, reflecting our nature. So there's six ways that we are like God. And we're not going to probably get all of them today. But I want you to think about that you will find the aspects addressed in the Bible about how we are like God. And what a blessed question we're allowed to ask. How exciting to consider that we are in fact like God. That's phenomenal. It means that I'm like God, not because of my behaviors, not because of my thoughts. Now, as I got older, grew up some, my behaviors reflect God more than they were when I was young. But this is where we have to remind ourselves, okay, that's like me. And I can be better at being like me because God is in me. And this is how we recognize that there are so many more things that we could use as descriptors. I mean, I'm sitting here, you know, writing all of these things down, and I see the cat is sleeping and waiting for me to come home and pet him. And so I'm probably a lot more like God than he is like me, obviously, right? God is wanting me to be like him. He's probably not wanting to be like me. And so a lot more to God than there is to me. I identified six things that pretty much sum up me, and then there's God. So hence, he is God, I am not. Number one, we're creative. We wish to continue, expand, and express ourselves. The second one, we are relational. We have the capacity and desire for deep, meaningful relationships. So when I tell you these qualities, I'm not saying how to use them. That is up to you. That's how you begin to be you. But these are inherent qualities. It's kind of the same thing when we look at cats and dogs. No matter how much we treat a cat like a dog, it's never going to be a dog. So we are relational, and this is important. Very, very important. So number three, we are spiritual with a desire for spiritual connection. To know that there's something, quote unquote, bigger, something more than what I can experience in the natural, tangible world. We have this desire to seek out, to question, you know, more esoteric things, such as where did all this originate from? Why are we here? What happens after we die? And who is God? Who is God really? And we are made this way. Every people group, regardless of what quote unquote God or religion they practice, there is always some form of spirituality. And this is why this is so imperative, that we recognize what God is doing and what he has placed in the creation of who we are. So he's also created us to be emotional beings, just as God is. See, emotions come from deep within us, from our likeness to God. Many of us would prefer to never have emotions because they can be quite painful. We need to be thankful for our emotional realm. This part of God is what motivated him to become human, to become one of us in order to lay his life down for us so that we could be able to abide with him for eternity. Now, I came upon an amazing awareness as I was studying the emotional aspects of God. And what I discovered was that there were numerous examples of God, or Father God, the Almighty, Jehovah, etc., in both the Old and the New Testament. And this feeling of him, the full range feelings in the following three realms, which is sad, mad, and glad. See, however, scared, or the realm that encompasses anxiety, fear, overwhelm, dread, foreboding, right, didn't show up until God became a human. Now, isn't that fascinating? That's amazing to me. What does that tells us about what it means to be human in a fallen world? God is very emotional, and there's no space in him for uncertainty or unsuredness, insecurities, etc. But when he became a human, he opened himself up to this realm, the realm we seem to actually live in the most. And it makes sense that God addresses this realm more than any other. He repeatedly is telling us to not fear, lay your burdens down, be anxious for nothing, do not be afraid. how reassuring this is to realize that though Jesus is truly understanding our fragility and how big our life is and the circumstances that can seem so difficult for us, that Jesus was so strong and so sure that he didn't experience any of the feelings in the scared realm. Not until facing the cross. What a brave and strong friend we have in Jesus. It's amazing to consider what Jesus has done for us. And I love the words. No wonder I love Jesus. He is the Word. All the words in the flesh. What an amazing thought. So I enjoy looking up meaning for words that I look at and use. And it tells me about the concept of the Word. And so the word choice and how this definition describes one of the ways we are like God and how powerful it is to consider why he, quote unquote, chooses or chose to infuse this characteristic into his people. So I want you to make sure that you really begin to dig into this so that you can really understand who created you and why he created you and how excited he was that he did create you and that he's wanting to help you be the best version of you, that you would be everything he dreamed of you being. So thank you for joining me today. This is Cynthia Hyatt with Conversations with Cynthia. Go to the website. We also have Instagram, all kinds of things so that you can be energized and excited throughout your week. Have a great week.
We hope this past hour has been encouraging, motivating, and inspiring to you. The messages and teachings shared during the show are given as a way to reach you, the listener, with ideas and insights on how you may not only improve your life, but have more successful and meaningful relationships as you become the best version of you. Cynthia is available as a keynote speaker or guest speaker for your corporate or spiritual events. Cynthia is able to customize a message for any audience attending a meeting, retreat, or conference. In addition to this, she oftentimes partners her messages with music as she is a singer and musician. Please contact her through her website at cynthiahyatt.com. If you missed any part of this program, you can download the most current show from her website at cynthiahyatt.com or hear a replay on your favorite podcast server. Please take a moment to visit her Facebook page at Cynthia Hyatt Incorporated and leave your ideas and comments about today's show. Now, be your own best version. Be